All right, Jason Terry going to call in here in just a moment. I'm watching the video that the Grappler posted on our Twitter account and our Instagram account of me out playing golf this morning. And I don't know why I allowed him or myself to shoot a video where I missed the putt. Like, it's a whole, like, Rocky theme. Like, I'm building up the courage to go out there and play the National, and I'm getting better and better and better. And the drive was pretty good. The chips are pretty good. But I sent him a video where I actually missed the putt.
I like that, though. You know why?
By the way, Hayes, do you
want
a tip?
It's legit, right, Noodles? It's
exactly.
Legit.
It's no. Legit. Because if it showed...
Excuse me. Can I talk, please? Brian, do you want a tip, Hayes?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
I think either your clubs are you need longer golf clubs.
I know. I'm slouched over. That's my
It's like you're a tall guy and it's like you're slouched over. You need longer golf clubs.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm getting concerned about your swing. Like you actually have not a bad move. Like it's not bad.
Well, yeah, I know.
200
is
not
played
on the
together.
Table.
And
I know, but the problem is you cheat. So that's where the problem lies. Like
okay.
You fluff and you
I guess you're right about that. I mean, I've been prone to fluffing and, you know, reloading brekkie balls, maybe a volley on the front.
And by the way, that putt there, like it was 1 inch from the cup. I think you can pick that one up and put it in your pocket. Like you can.
Well,
take
hope so. I hope so. But for you, you said putt everything out.
Okay.
So was for you, man. That was done so you don't think I'm just picked. Because if I did pick it up, you'd be like, oh, here we go. You would have 3-jerked that or blah, blah, blah.
4.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe at the National with tough greens. Anyway, we got a guy on the line who doesn't care about my short game, my golf game, what I'm going to shoot at the National.
Not at all.
Not even in the least. You can find him on Twitter, on Instagram, at JasonTerry31, longtime NBAer, NBA champ with the Dallas Mavericks. Here he is, Jason the Jet Terry. Jason, what's happening, buddy?
How you doing? I actually do care about your short game and those little flip wedges.
Oh, yeah. Jason, you tell us.
You
tell
wedge.
Us, did you ever play with a guy that would just say, you know what, give me a 5 and whatever, and be in his pocket and like...
Hey, man, I got my eyes on all those guys. I always watch them. And I'm a decent golfer. I'm not really, I couldn't even tell you my handicap, but I'm competitive. I like to play. I like to win. But there are guys, you got to keep an eye on them now.
Thank you very much.
Those racers on the scorecards, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been labeled one of those guys you're supposed to watch out for.
You're not labeled, Brian. It's actually the truth. I saw you do it, so it's not like I'm not making it up.
All right, Mr. Integrity over there. I love that. Okay. Well, anyway, what was your situation during your playing career? Would you ever bring your clubs on the road if you knew there was a great course somewhere?
100%. I mean, after about my 6th year in the league, Darrell Armstrong, savvy vet. Got me into golfing, and he would take me almost every road trip, I would say, and we would pack our clubs if the weather permitted, especially if you went to like Phoenix or LA, weather was always good, and we would pack our clubs and we'd get around there.
I find like it amazing with NBA players, and I'm sure it's like any celebrity, any big athlete, but if you roll into town and there's a private club that you really want to play, chances are you can get on there, right? Like, you're going to find a connection. If you land in L.A. and you want to play at the L.A. Country Club, let's say, and you're like, it's Jason Terry, I'm coming over, I'm teeing off at 8:30, chances are you're going to be able to work that out, right?
Listen, once you get drafted into NBA, they give you this card. Your card says, I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that can get you on anywhere or anytime. So I whip that card out from time to time.
I like it. What about Mark Cuban? I feel like he'd be cool with that as an owner. Like, did he ever challenge any of the players on anything they were doing on the road, during their practice, you know, anything? What was Cuban like to be around?
No, Cuban was the ultimate professional. He understood, you know, guys in their spare time are going to be grown men. He would always hold you accountable, though. He always told you nothing good happens after 2. You know, there's no curfew, but there is. So if you get caught after 2 and you get in trouble, then we'll have to hold you accountable. But if you're out after 2 and you're good and you have a great game the next day, no problem. And usually he'd be with us on those days or nights as well. So, no, you love Mark. I mean, he's hands-on. He's very passionate about the game. And he's the type of owner that every guy, NBA player, would love to play for.
What did you make of The Last Dance? Everyone's kind of talking about it. And MJ, you just talked about 2 in the morning. Nothing happens good after that. He had the one comment where you're like, I knocked on the door and there, I don't know, what did he say, Brian? There was like beers and drugs and girls
in
there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on back there. Yeah.
And he was like, he was like, I didn't want to deal with that, so I left. Like, what do you make of kind of talking out of school and maybe out of school, but just the whole comments and everything involved in that documentary?
Well, I have no problem with it. I mean, it goes on all the time. I mean, not only in professional sports, rock stars. I mean, guys that travel around in the entertainment business. I mean, you live a certain lifestyle, and you're going to be prone to see some of that stuff from time to time. But you got to have strong will and, you know, pick and choose your battles. And for me, I would never implement or say a guy's name, right? That's the code that we kind of live by, is you don't implement, say, a guy's name. Now, he did say the whole team, who that was. He never pointed a finger at any guy, so then you just have to have your own assumptions on who those guys were. But cocaine and drugs and alcohol, cigarette smoking was very prevalent in the 80s until David Stern came on in and cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, Stern definitely did. He stepped in and
how, though? What did he do? Like, he said, like, this is not allowed anymore?
Well, no, he implemented a strict Stern drug testing policy. And I think, you know, when I came into the league, it even got stricter. I mean, we get tested 4 times a year, and that was stringent. I mean, when I first came in my rookie year, it was once at training camp, and then you kind of free will to do whatever you wanted. But there was 4 drug tests after that collective bargaining agreement, and that kind of kept you in check. I mean, it was random, and you never knew, you know, when these guys would pop up with the gloves and the urine sample bottles.
Do you think they picked, like, hand-picked guys where they're like, I'm going to get on this guy a little bit more, or it was just 4 times and you dealt with that?
Well, I think it was random, and it wasn't biased at all, but I will tell you this. If you came in smelling, you know, like you drank a whole fifth, or your eyes were always red, and, you know, you had that look about yourself, you may get a knock on the door.
Yeah. 2 of the 4 guys in this chat had that look a lot, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Hey,
nothing wrong with that look, unless you're trying to win an NBA championship. I see that.
Right. Yeah. We're chatting with Jason Terry, longtime NBA champ with Dallas. And you can check out his website, jasonterry31.com, and find him on Twitter and Instagram, the same handle, @jasonterry31. Speaking of MJ, I mean, for whatever reason, I know the reason, because we're all guilty of it. We're all in the content game and the debate game and all that. LeBron James gets dragged into it. And over the past 5 weeks, it's been like, all right, this is going to make LeBron look better, or LeBron look worse, or this is going to solidify that Jordan's the GOAT. You're kind of you're a crossover. You know both of them. You've played against both of them. But Jordan is who he is. We all know that. But where do you stand on LeBron James and his status as an all-time great player?
LeBron's definitely in the top 10 all-time great players that ever played this game. The one thing that you cannot deny about LeBron is, you know, one, he's a champion. And two, I mean, you look at his physique and how he's built. There's no other guy that played the game at that position that has dominated the game for as long as he's done it. The longevity of how long he's been on top as the number one player in the world is what makes him an all-time great. I think he's still cementing his legacy before I can move him into my top 5. But as it is stands right now, he's definitely top 10. I mean,
what more can he do, though?
He's not in your top 5 right now?
Yeah, what more can he do to get into a top 5?
Well, he has to end his career and retire. I mean, you can't put a guy in the Hall of Fame while he's still playing. So that would be one. I don't think Jordan was. I think in '98 we might have started saying Jordan was the greatest of all time, but we really didn't cement it until he was like, "Okay, I'm through." And then he comes back again. I mean, that was crazy. But I think LeBron has to retire first. I mean, and complete his body of work, because right now, what is he at? 3 championships, right?
Yep.
And so for me, I always go to the championships first. I mean, you got Jordan. He never lost in the NBA Finals. He has 6 championships, 6 MVP Finals championships. I mean, it's just hard to deny him the greatest of all time. But then you got guys like Magic. Magic has five. Kareem has, what does he have, five or six?
Yeah, six, I think.
So I think Kobe has five.
Kobe's got five, yeah.
Kobe has five. Like, those four guys there, and you throw in Bill Russell for me, and that's my top five. I mean, it's just hard to take those guys out. Another guy told me, say, Will Chamberlain. I mean, it's hard to not have Will. The guy averaged 50 points and 20 rebounds.
Right. Right.
Well, who does that? I don't care who he's playing against. Small guys, 5 feet and under, 7 footers. I mean, 50 points in anything, rec ball anywhere, is hard to average. Like, that's tough. You got to be an all-time great. So
he did some other stuff that was hard to average as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm saying. He's averaging 50 while he's doing the other stuff.
Right. He's putting up numbers that nobody's seen.
He put up numbers.
All across the board.
we're chatting with Jason Terry, and you were on the Dallas team when you beat Miami. You know, Miami went to four straight finals, and you guys got them the first time, and you beat them. And I don't remember who was favored in that. I'm sure LeBron and D Wade and the Heat because of the hatred. Yeah. And
Dallas was not favored in that series. No way.
So take us back there, Jason. Like when you got them, when you beat them. What was that feeling like, not only winning a title, but doing it against a team in Miami who had sucked up so much oxygen ever since LeBron made the decision to go there?
Well, it was very emotional, I will tell you that right now. Not only for myself, Dirk Nowitzki, Mark Cuban, the entire city of Dallas, because 5 years previous, we had faced that same franchise in the finals, and Dwayne Wade and Shaq, and you know, we smoked off a 2-0 lead. And so for us finally getting back to that point, we just realized, like, we don't care who's in those uniforms, LeBron, whoever, it does not matter. This is our time. This time doesn't come around often. We have to take advantage of it. And then finally we end up winning, and it just lifted a huge, huge burden off the shoulders of myself, Dirk, and the entire Maverick organization, because you finally realize your ultimate goal. And I understood how long it took, you know, to put a team together to be able to compete again for a championship, and we finally got it done.
Well, Jason, we really appreciate you finding time for us again. JasonTerry31.com. My understanding is you got some stuff cooking here in the future that we should be looking out for. And we'll do that with the website, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine. And we wish you nothing but success and safety, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
No doubt about it. Have a good one. Quit foot wedging them balls up there on the green, man.
He can't stop himself. He can't stop himself.
It's a bodily function. I'm not trying to do it.
Okay.
It just happens.
Y'all stay safe.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for this.
Thanks.
Jason Terry. Jason the Jet Terry, one of the great handles through the Jet. It's always a great nickname. I love that story. It's like once you get to the NBA, you always know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy.
Because dude, that's the show. That's why they call it the show. It's like you fly somewhere, you just call someone and say, hey, who knows this guy or that guy? And it's like it just happens. Like that's why it's called the show.
Well, yeah, like there was a story out of England recently, Gary Lineker, who was a soccer player over there. I guess when Jordan was over there, he was there with like Samuel L. Jackson and a couple of other guys, and they wanted to play at some course, like somewhere in London. And Gary's like, all right, I got the call, so I'm bringing them out. And we brought them out. And it's like, they just land, and they're like, this is where we want to play, like that course. We want to play here. We're here for 24 hours. We need to play in the next hour. It's like, yep, we'll get you out there.
Yeah,
find a way to make that work.
It's a good guy factory. You just got to, somebody calls you up and say, hey, I got a couple buddies that are in Carolina or Calgary that want to go to a game. You're like, okay, I'll hook it up. Because then you call those guys in the summer and say, hey, I'm in your town in Phoenix. I need to golf. You want to hook that up? Yeah, I got that. Or
it's kind of a network.
Yeah, it's a good guy factory is what it is. And Hayes, you are not in it right now.
Well, when I break 200, I better be.